Let us now prepare our hearts and minds to hear God's word as we pray. Sovereign God, let your word rule in our hearts and your spirit govern our lives until at last we see the fulfillment of your psalm of justice and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture reading today is Psalm 84, and you can find that on page 922 in your pew Bible or on your electronic devices. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
This is the old man again. Our scripture reading this morning is from Philippians, the first chapter, reading the first 11 verses, and it can be found on page 1825 in the Bibles in the pew if you're interested in following along that way. Otherwise, it's up on the screen, and what I have in front of me is not a whole lot bigger than what I see on the screen. But I'll read the one that's in front of me because that's my pattern. This is not a Pastor Brian pattern. This is my pattern. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and what is pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of God. Now, I want to do something different, something I've never done before. And I want to do it for one reason, and it's not to be like Pastor Brian. Well, maybe a little bit. It's because Pastor Brian asked me to preach today because he was going to be on study leave, and that changed dramatically for them. And we continue our prayers for the family. But he asked me, well, let me do it this way. And this is also not like me. Somewhere in my brain, I had a pastor who said that we're preaching from the Word of God, therefore the Word of God should be in front of us. And it is. It's in front of me. I'm sorry, Lord. At the beginning of the summer, when Pastor Brian shared the story of Abraham, that was the second week, but I tried to say, X number of weeks ago, I don't do that well. I've already talked about my thing with time. But Brian shared the story of Abraham, and when he ended the message, he ended with a prayer that went something like this. The gift of story reminds us of your working in the lives of your people. When you share your story with us, help us find our place in that story so that it becomes our story. And that's kind of where I'd like to take off today. I'd like to tell you a story, the story of God's building a relationship in my life with me. So it's really not a sermon, it's a testimony. It's a story of a contemporary story, if I could, of God working in people's lives. And I would suggest that it's a testimony, it's my testimony, but part of me says that's terribly presumptuous. Number one, to think you'd want to hear anything about my life, but secondly, because of how inconsequential my life is in the greater scheme of things, in all of God, in all of the universe, that God would want a relationship with someone like me. I'm not an Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. I'm not a Peter or a Paul. I have stuck my foot in my mouth more times than I should have, but that's another story. But the people of the Bible are just like you and me. They're normal, everyday, run-of-the-mill people. And God wants to have a relationship with us, you and me. So I want to talk about my testimony, but I want to change your mentality for a minute to think that I'll tell you my story, but I'm going to say it's ours, because the things I bring up aren't going to be that much different than things that you've experienced in your lives and or you might experience in the not too distant future. So how do I make the statement that it's our story? Because the testimony I want to share is, in fact, more about God and what he's doing than it is about us and what we've experienced. Well, that's it. It's what God has done and what we experience. So that's where I'm coming from. Hence the jacket off, sit on a stool down in the front rather than up there, because I'm not preaching, I'm sharing. And it's like you're sitting in the fellowship hall and there's a fire in the middle. No, that's Pastor Brian. That's his. I won't try and pronounce the word, but the storytelling. Because I just haven't learned how to do that yet. Our scripture today, Paul says, he who began a good work. The fact that we're here today in person or online is evidence that he has begun. Maybe it's been a long time unfolding like it has been for me. Maybe it's more recent for you. Maybe you're wondering why you're even here today, and I would say that that's only an indication that God has begun a work in you as well. The question is that we need to ask is, how do we respond to what God is doing. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. I grew up in a church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Went to church and Sunday school and daily vacation Bible school, backyard Bible club with child evangelism fellowship, even went to Christian school for the first 6 years. I accepted Jesus as my Savior dozens of times. I'd already read and heard Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and I knew that included me. I also knew Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And of course, I knew John 3:16, but I can't think of it right now. That's why I've got a script in front of me, because that's what happened. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you. I can see some of you are reading along with me. It wasn't until, however, I was in junior college and I met Art Glasser. I was interested in art because before I started high school, I thought I wanted to be a minister. And then when I started high school, I had to take a foreign language. I don't see anybody, well, there's a couple here who might be looking at things like that. I would just warn you, don't take Latin. What an experience. And it wasn't just Latin. I couldn't memorize the words, but the teacher was so Latin. Her response was to the other students in the class, just learn your words. Don't be like Phil. I didn't even know Latin enough to care about Latin, but when she said that, I knew I didn't want to be in that class any longer. But anyway, be that as it may, I changed my mental, whatever this is, and decided I would work on becoming an engineer instead. And so Art Glasser interested me when he spoke at the group in the junior college. And he was an engineer standing on a bridge, looking at his feet, seeing the rivets were already rusting, and he said, why am I building bridges that aren't lasting before I can build them? I should be building things for Jesus. And so he became a missionary instead, switched over. He shared John 1:12-13 to me. But to all who receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In that moment, I understood that God made me his child by adoption the first time I confessed my sins and accepted Jesus' death on the cross to pay the penalty. It had happened years before, and I'd tried so many times since then, but I didn't need to try anymore, because now I knew I was his child. God said so. And if God said so and I question it, I'm calling God a liar. Didn't want to do that. God did it. So that's the start of my testimony. I have a relationship with God, and he initiated it. Paul says, he who began a good work will carry it on. God doesn't just start something and drop us off and leave us to our own devices. He gets involved in our lives. Well, that was junior college, and then there was that summons from Uncle Sam. Mm-hmm, yeah. 6 months intensive training. You're ready to fight the Vietnamese. And I was on a boat, not to China, to Vietnam, to join the combat engineers. One of the Sundays there, in the tent chapel, the chaplain preached on Jesus calling Peter, James, and John to be fishers of men. And that old calling came back. And I said yes to Jesus, believing that he wanted me to go into the ministry. I told the chaplain, wrote my parents and my pastor, kind of put it all out there online. It's kind of hard to back out when those kind of people are expecting things. 6 months later, I'm stateside. Still 5 months to go in the military. And I met the girl of my dreams. Yeah, it started at church again. Peggy joined the Sunday school class that I attended. Her family had just moved up from California. That night, she sang special music for the evening service. Wednesday, she was there for prayer meeting and Bible study, and she was headed out, and I said, "Hey, aren't you going to sing in choir? I know you sing." She went to choir. I found out on our first date that she felt God wanted her to be a minister's wife. Now, there was more that happened between then and there and now and whatever. 3 months later, we were married. Peggy didn't believe in long-distance relationships, and I was headed back to school. The trip from Washington through California to Michigan was no vacation. God was involved. You know what that's like. Flat tire on the trailer you're pulling. Alternator going out on the car. A valve job before we could get the last trip, part of the trip into. And then Peggy found out from the doctor that she had walking pneumonia when we stopped in California. Those are the kinds of things that sometimes you get to the end of your rope and you say, "God, I need your help." I choose to believe that in spite of everything that was going on, God was right there. He was carrying on. God is good. All the time. All the time is God. If you stop and think, like I've been doing since Pastor Brian asked me to share today, you'll discover that there are many of those instances where God acts in response to our needs. Maybe we prayed. Often I've discovered God's already working before we think to ask. For instance, Peggy and I had been married for a year, living in Holland, Michigan now, in an apartment on the second floor. And Michelle was born. After 36 hours of hard labor, I know because I sat right there in the room with her, and it was real. It was difficult for me, but I wasn't going through it. And a beautiful baby daughter was born. Things should have been settling down, but it wasn't 48 hours later that the doctor reported that this tiny baby needed a blood transfer. Not a blood transfusion, a blood transfer. What could I say to a young mother thousands of miles from her family and friends who's traveled across the country from the West Coast to Michigan with walking pneumonia and now very recently having delivered a 36-hour pregnant baby. Anyway, when the doctor says we need to drain the blood from your baby and put new blood in. But God said, "Honey, we dedicated Michelle to the Lord when we knew you were pregnant. She belongs to him. He will take care of her." Did you hear what I said? God said, I didn't. Sure, it came out of my mouth, but I'm not that smart, I'm not that quick, I'm not that compassionate. But God is, and he was, and he did. Michelle came through with flying colors, although the doctor was concerned and admitted after having to repeat the procedure a second time 12 hours later that having completed over 100 such procedures on infants in the past, Michelle's life was the first one. that came close to not making it. God had begun a good work, and he was carrying it on. God is good. And all the time. I was back in school by now. I'll never forget. I was in an intro to psych class, 50 to 60 students. I was sitting in the front row when the professor asked, "Who here is a determinist?" And I raised my hand. A brief, simplistic definition of a determinist: someone who believes that God knows everything, has everything planned. The prof stepped in front of me and he said, "Mr. Grauberg," and I knew I was in trouble. He knew me by name out of all of those students. He said, "Either you're very naive or the only honest person in the room." Turning around, I realized I was the only one in the room with my hand up. I don't know whether I said many of those students were also headed for seminary. They would be my classmates over there. I'm still naive. My kids will confirm that. But I also still believe and am confident, convinced that God knows all and has a plan and will see it to completion. Do I know how? No. Do I care how? Sure, I really do. I have some ideas. I even let him know. It's called prayer. But I've also learned that knowing he leads me, even if I don't know where I'm going or which direction I should take, if I follow, I will get where he can use me. I've even discovered that when I choose to go my own way, he can still use me, and does. God is good at that. He has begun a good work in me and is carrying it on. Well, seminary is over. I'm headed to the graduation ceremony. I have no idea where I'm going from there. No one has offered us a call or even the promise of a call. I had no idea where God wanted me, or maybe if he even wanted me in ministry. That's my doubt in myself and my abilities. Had I learned enough? Was I prepared? But God, I didn't need to worry or doubt him. I was still convinced. I just couldn't see ahead. But God could, because he knew that when I left the ceremony and headed home that night, I would have the promise of 4 calls. 1 minute, no decision. The next minute, massive confusion. One was an inner city church. One was a resort community church. You can imagine the ebb and flow of people who would be there on a Sunday. One was a farm community church, and one was a mission church in the hills of Kentucky. The wise pastor of the church we attended at that time said to me, "Phil, you need to search, you need to pray about it, you need to follow the Lord's lead. And then after 6 months, don't think about what if you had chosen differently." God led us to the country church. And over the years, a city church, another small town church, and then a big city church. God was leading. God, who had begun a good work, was carrying it on. It's really interesting to me how God works. You never really know what's going to happen. He throws out little hints sometimes, and we miss them because we're not looking for hints. I remember talking with a fellow pastor at lunch one afternoon when we were at the second church that we served. And we were talking, I don't know how the conversation, of course, I don't know how conversations change and happen all the time anyway. I'm not the kind of person who can change conversations. But anyway, we were talking and we got on the subject of insurance and how it costs so much, but we can't do without it. The next week, we were taking Beth, our second daughter, to the doctor's because of a too rapid heartbeat. As a result of the hospital's routine chest x-ray. The doctor discovered that she didn't have a heart problem at all. She had a mass in her chest, a tumor that was bigger than a grapefruit. She was only 5 years old. And they diagnosed it as a possible neuroblastoma. At that time, the number one cancer in small children. Prayers began immediately across the country. I invited the elders of the church to come to the hospital to pray and anoint her with oil, as James 5:14 suggests. I'd never done anything like that before. This was a Reformed church, not an Assemblies of God church. And yet it was another God thing. After surgery and the doctors had removed the tumor, they admitted astonishment that the tumor they removed was only the size of a golf ball. The pediatric oncologist who had essentially made light of the prayer and anointing, and I mean not more than just essentially, he outright made light of it, was mystified by the fact that though they sliced the tumor so thin there was nothing left to send to Berkeley or Mayo, there were no immature cancer cells to be found, unheard of in tumors, especially neuroblastomas. God continued the work he had begun. Beth was released from the hospital in less than a week's time, and the staff were still talking about her recovery at the hospital a year later when I came by to see another parishioner. Other people notice when God continues building his relationship in us. The transition from pastoring to more worldly pursuits was not easy. God seems to insert himself wherever he wants, whenever he wants, but it didn't seem he was being blatantly clear, and I was stumbling. I didn't doubt him. I just didn't see where he was trying, what he was trying to teach me. And it was way too many years. I tried commission sales, but I wasn't hungry enough. I didn't know how to go in for the kill. That's a silly thing to say when you're trying to get people to like you. I ended up selling jewelry. Think with a second for the dichotomy of selling or espousing a Christian faith and telling somebody that Jesus died on the cross. It's ethereal. Would you like some bling? They don't go together. But I came to the conclusion, my only argument was that I could convince myself was that the people were going to come and buy bling. I didn't need to sell them more bling just because the manager said I did. I just needed to meet those people where they are and be conscientious. I'm off. Let's get back. That's when Wesley came. Many of you have met Wesley. He was diagnosed with having had a stroke intrauterine. The doctor didn't give much hope. Scans after his birth showed no nerve connections between his brain or his eyes or ears. But God had begun a work and was carrying it on. There were prayers again, many of them. The pastor at the church we were attending anointed Wesley with oil and prayed for him. Not long after, we were waiting to be seated in a busy restaurant lobby when we noticed that Wesley was visually tracking people who passed in front of us. Tested the next day, the doctor confirmed that Wesley hears everything, and although he was unsure of what Wes sees or how much, he sees well enough to get around. I can attest to the fact that Wes enjoys video games, some more than others. He's 29 now, works at Freddy's, and is looking forward to getting married by this time next year. God has begun a good work, and he's carrying it on. No, I don't doubt God or his promises, but I certainly don't understand many of the circumstances of my life. Why would I find myself selling real estate when it was already proven that Pure Sales was for me a disaster? Because they convinced me that houses sell themselves. I told you I was naive. But that's where I just happened to learn about the VA and found out that I was eligible for their care. And from them, have received constant care since 2004. That included 6 surgeries, a pacemaker, hearing aids, and to say nothing of numerous visits to the emergency room that also resulted in hospital stays. God's still working on that relationship he wants with me, just like he's still working on the relationship he wants with you. Remember that minister I mentioned who told me not to ask what-if questions? I've tried. It just seems inevitable. Did I make the right decision? Did I make it for the right reason? Did I give up or give in too soon? I found the most important question I needed to ask was, and is, did I honor God? Doubting God is not on the agenda because God keeps his promises. And he, who began a good work, is continuing. Last week, Pastor Brian, in an overview of his summer series, said that he'd been studying God's covenant. We had been studying God's covenant in which God said repeatedly to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, David, there are a few more, you will be my people and I will be your God. Be faithful and I will keep my promises. I'm not sure I want to think, let alone talk about my faithfulness, but I know God has kept his promises. I know people's lives have been changed, even impacted, and some maybe even by me. In what ways? I'm quite sure I'll never know, but it doesn't matter because it only happens because God began a good work in us and he will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus when he returns or he calls me home. I hope that you've heard today as my testimony resonates. Let me restate that. I hope what you've heard today as my testimony resonates. My mouth is drying. But I'm also almost done here. I hope what you've heard today as my testimony resonates with the truth that it is in fact reality. In reality, God's testimony. It's God's story. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's not about me. It's all about him. When I've stumbled, even fallen, he's been right there, helping me up, setting me on the path again. He keeps trying to develop a relationship with me, even when my head or heart leads me off the path and should only upset the pattern. And it's not just me, it's you too. But Paul says to the Philippians, he who began a good work in you, and that's us today, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God is building a relationship with you and with me. Pretty phenomenal, don't you think? Let's thank him. Heavenly Father, words are so inadequate to express the joy that floods our hearts when we realize that you, the omnipotent God, creator and sustainer of the universe, want a relationship with us. You want to get to know us better. You want to help us live our lives better. And our lives, our hearts should be so full to overflowing that we can't stop talking about it. We can't stop living in it. And yet we still choose, make bad choices, go in wrong directions. And you keep grabbing a hold of us, setting us back on the path and reminding us that you want a relationship with us. So we praise you, Lord. We glory in that relationship, and we seek with your help and understanding to live in such a way as to bring honor and glory to your holy name. And I ask it, we ask it, in Jesus' name, amen.